Okay, great, great to be here. Now, on your tables is actually some words from a captain, Captain Jesus. We're going to get to those, so make sure you have them handy, because we're going to be thinking about the words of Jesus as our captain this morning. Before we get there, let's have a think about captains, the kind of captains that are in our lives day to day that we trust. Now, captains are really important. Would you agree? You trust captains, don't you? What's the character of this captain? Is he or she competent? Can I trust them? And there's a lot hanging on captains, isn't there? If the captain doesn't do well, it's not just their problem. Actually, a whole lot of people are going to have a problem, aren't they? That's kind of what's hanging on the captain. Now, what are some of the captains that we trust in life? We've already heard one. Margaret told us a story. You get onto a cruise ship. Now, who's been on a cruise ship? There's lots of people here, right? Now, you step on the cruise ship, and I've done this once. Might do it again, I'm not sure. You step on the cruise ship, and it's going to take you out to the ocean. It is far away. There's a big distance between land and you. It could be, you know, several days' journey. And you do trust the ship, don't you? Look at the ship, you go, yep, is this ship going to take us there? Is it going to carry us? But you're actually also asking, are you not, who's in charge of this ship? Who's in control? And you just hope, and sometimes occasionally you see he or she, the captain is competent, experienced, wears the uniform, and you go, I think it's going to be okay. So I looked out the window, I saw these massive waves, I thought, gee, if something went wrong, who would we call upon? And we're trusting the captain. He knows what he's doing. At one point he said to us, it's too dangerous to get off. We need to head back to Sydney Heads and all that kind of thing. We trusted him. It all worked out well, and we didn't have the disaster that Margaret had. Do you remember a few years ago, there was a ship in the Mediterranean, the Concordia, and it had 4,000 passengers on it. So the captain was in charge of over 4,000 people. But a moment's distraction, I think he was on his mobile to his wife. And he hit the rocks, the ship stops, it leans over. 32 people lost their lives, $2 billion worth of damage. So that's what can happen when the captain's not up for it. Now, where else do we trust people? You get onto an aeroplane. You take a flight. Who's taken a flight this summer? Lots of us. You jump on the aeroplane. Do you ever look to the left and just see who is up there in the cockpit? Are they experienced? Do they know what they're doing? Are we going to actually get there, you know? Are you a nervous passenger? I think I became nervous when one of my friends from school became a pilot. Seriously, I thought to myself, aren't you meant to be like older, more experienced? You're the guy that sat next to me in maths. I did better than you in maths. Seriously, this guy, Craig, he's a great, great guy, but he actually failed his driving test twice. We had this joke in our maths class that when a guy left the room, so, what's he doing? Oh, he's going to his grandmother's funeral. And that was kind of code that he's doing his driving test. And no one wanted to say that, because if you came back and you failed, you're really going to cop it from the class. Well, he went to his grandmother's funeral three times. Now, he's now a Qantas pilot. And Qantas have great training and all that kind of thing. Do fly Qantas. But I remember the first flight he took us on. It was a four-seater over Sydney Harbour. And it was just like the plane, as it took off from the runway, was rattling, and we're going over the harbour. It's just like, this is amazing. I'm putting my trust in my friend. You know, if he fails, if he faints, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm trusting you. Now, where else do we trust captains? Slightly different use of the word captain, but a doctor or a surgeon. So, you know, you're going to have surgery. You're going to put your life in the hands of someone else. It is actually really, really important, isn't it, that person is trustworthy, that person is qualified, that person knows what they're doing. things could go horribly wrong. And so you're trusting them. I remember a few years ago, one of my daughters needed surgery, and I've never asked the doctor more questions in all my life because I just wanted to know, do you know what you're doing? Can I trust you? Now, I want to ask you this morning, actually a more important question than that. What about the captain of the most precious and important thing of all, your life? Who would you say is the captain actually of your life? So imagine just this morning, imagine for a moment with me, the ship is your life and there is a captain to your life. And you're on the open seas with everyone else. You have particular people on board that perhaps rely on you. Here's the picture behind us, right? The water. There's a destination. There's an island. You see the island in the background? Somewhere where you're heading in life. And for some of us, that it's actually smooth sailing. Things are going well at the moment. For others, it's getting a bit rocky. For others, it's like there's huge waves approaching us. How do you? Who's in charge? Who's at the helm? How do you navigate those difficult waters in life, either now or the ones that are going to come? We're told this morning again they are unavoidable and unpredictable. Storms will come. That's a great analogy, isn't it, of life sailing? The weather will get bad at some point. It's just the way it is. You're foolish to think you'll just sail through life. You won't. So who's at the helm? Where are you heading? So that island that you're gunning for, what's on that island? So what's the goal? What would life look like if it went well? What are your hopes and dreams? Even where did those hopes and dreams come from? That kind of tells you perhaps who's at the helm. And there are a number of options, aren't they, of who's at the helm. It's a little bit tricky to work out, I think. So Margaret told us, who's at the helm? Well, God is at the helm. So we'll get to that in a moment. But that wasn't always the case for Margaret. You might say, actually, I'm in charge. I'm at the helm. A lot of people say that. I was reading on the internet this week, there's just loads of self-help books about taking charge of your life. You need to take charge. You need to be in control. You need to set the direction. And that can be very attractive, can't it? That can often be the answer to what I perceive to be true freedom. No one will tell me what to do. I set my course. I don't rely on anyone else. I rely on myself. It can even be perhaps responsible in life as well. So that might be your answer, that I'm in control. It's worth asking, though, is how's that going for you? How is that going, being the captain of your own ship? It's interesting, isn't it? When we're the boss, often we're the worst kind of boss for ourselves. Have you noticed this? That happens when people sometimes go into business. I want to be free. I want to do my own thing. I want to set my own plans and goals. And actually, they are the worst boss of themselves. Aren't so often we the harshest critics of ourselves? Aren't we often we're actually tyrants to ourselves sometimes. You heard the phrase, you're actually your worst enemy, you know, because actually you're in control, because you're listening to yourself, you're guiding yourself. And I reckon also it's a bit tricky, isn't it? Because sometimes we think we're in control. We'd say that we're at the helm, but actually we're not. There's actually someone else next to us who's actually speaking into our ear, someone really influential. So it looks like I'm in control, but I'm actually listening to someone else. It could be could be our parents, even if they're not alive anymore. You know, some people say, oh, you know, I could just hear my mum, what she'd say about this. For better or worse, actually that's who I'm living for. Or maybe it's someone else influential in your life that you look up to. Or maybe it's someone who's already arrived at the island. You go, I just want to be like them. They've made it. They've achieved. I'm just going to follow. I'm actually following them. They're actually at the helm, not me. All kinds of people could be at the helm. Now, what does the question this morning, what does God say about that? What does the Bible say about that? What would God say about us being at the helm? Well, let me say to you this morning, the Bible's really clear about this. The Bible says actually all of those captains, except for God, are actually going to fail us in the end. So it's a funny thing. The Bible has such a high view of us as human beings. We're so capable. We're wonderfully made. There's incredible gifts in a human being, in each and every one of us. But at the same time, the Bible says you're finite. You're limited. The Bible uses words like you are dust. You know, you are a vapor. You come for a while. You can. What's the other expression the Bible uses? We're like grass. We're like the flowers of the field. What is that saying? We grow up. We're somewhat beautiful and have a glory, can do great things. But what happens to a flower? It eventually dies, doesn't it? It won't last. And it's actually quite fragile, a flower, isn't it? What is the imagery that the Bible uses for God? It's the rock, the eternal one. Very, very different, isn't it? The Bible's actually saying we're not up for the task of being at the helm. That's quite a humbling thing, isn't it? I think that's what Margaret was telling us that she learnt. I can't take control of my life. I realise I can't be the captain. And some of us have already realised that, right? So Margaret, that was so humbling, wasn't it? All the things that happened to her, and you often hear this from people, that they just realise, get to a point and go, man, I just need to surrender to God. I need to realise God's in control. I can't do this on my own. But others of us are actually still really confident. No, I can take the helm. The ship's getting a little bit rocky, but I'm okay. We're perhaps fooling ourselves. I think this is what the Bible's saying too, that we're overconfident. We're overconfident in ourselves. We've overestimated our ability, and we've underestimated how rocky the boat is going to get. And that's how people get into trouble in the ocean, isn't it? I'll be okay. You know, I don't need to swim between the flags. Last year, as a family, we took a trip around Australia. We ended up in Cairns, and it was really interesting to meet all these people on different adventures across Australia. And there was a couple we met in Cairns, early retirees, I think you'd call them. I think probably quite wealthy, who were just about to pick up their first boat, their sailing boat that they bought. And I said, oh, where are you going to take the sailing boat? And he said to me, here we are in Cairns. He said, we're going to take a trip to Perth. So I'm going to almost go around Australia via the ocean. And I was thinking to myself, gee, you must have a lot of sailing experience. And he says to me, no, I've never done it before. And you go, there's overconfidence, isn't it? And I was talking to a friend over the Christmas New Year period. He actually grew up in a sailing family, and he wouldn't say that he's a terrific sailor. He can do it. We were actually watching the Sydney to Hobart together, and I told him this story, and he said, that is absolutely crazy. He said, I would never do that without help. That is going into some real danger. I reckon that's a bit like that with life. We're perhaps, some of us are a little bit naive. There is danger. There are big waves of life that you will not handle if you're at the helm. Now, what's the biggest one? We've talked about it this week. The biggest one, of course, is death, isn't it? That's the biggest wave to come, unavoidable. And I want to suggest to you this morning that Jesus is the captain that we need. So Jesus is the one who steps into our world, our messy, stormy world, and is actually the very captain that we need to navigate life. A very, very good captain, a very capable captain, a very confident captain, a very kind and merciful captain, and a captain with a very clear destination to a very, very good place. I want to suggest to you that he's actually the only fit person to be captain of your life. That we're not up for the task, but Jesus is. Now, have a look at the words of Jesus. on that piece of paper that I've put on your tables. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he's about to go to the cross. They are in grief. They are in confusion. They're actually facing the storms of life. They're anxious what's going to happen to Jesus. And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." See, there's Jesus' confidence, isn't it? What does Jesus say? "Trust me. I've got this covered. You can trust me." Verse 2, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" See, there's the destination. It's actually, he's talking about heaven. He's talking about the cross first. "I'm going to the cross for you so you might have heaven, the place with many rooms, the picture of many mansions, a beautiful place with God and his people." And verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." See, there's the kindness of Jesus, isn't it? The mercy of Jesus to say, "I'm preparing a place and I want you to come with me." And verse 4, he says, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." And so Thomas says to him, one of the disciples, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And so Jesus says, "Here is the way." Verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." See, there's Jesus, the captain. Now, you want to work out, can you trust Jesus in your life? Is he worthy to be the captain? That's what Captain Pickering had to work out and still needs to work out with HMS Salvation. That's a good question to ask. That's a very good question to ask. In fact, you don't want to let anyone take control of your life unless they're trustworthy, do you? And so you might really need to have a good close look at Jesus, because it's no small thing to have someone take charge of your life. But as you look at the life of Jesus, many of us here are convinced that he's totally up for the task. If you look at the biographies of Jesus' life in the Bible, who is Jesus? Jesus is an incredibly impressive person, incredibly trustworthy. He speaks with authority. He speaks with great love, acts with great love and compassion. He heals people. He controls the ocean. He does all these things because he's trustworthy. He's confident. He's capable to be our captain. But why is Jesus so confident, even in this passage here? Why does he say, "Don't be troubled," when they're faced with grief and knowing that death is coming? Why does he say that? Ultimately, it's because Jesus has dealt with death. That's what the cross is about. Jesus dying for our sins, forgiving us of our sins, so that we don't need to face the judgment of God. Jesus defeats death, rises again, can forgive us. And so he comes out confident saying, "You know, everything is going to be okay. Just trust me. You will be forgiven. You will have eternal life." That's what makes Jesus such a capable and confident captain. Now, as we finish, why would you make Jesus your captain? Well, I reckon Margaret gave us some great reasons, didn't she? It actually just helps us steer through life, doesn't it? When life gets difficult, there is someone in control. There is someone we can trust. We can be confident in someone who's good, who has a direction, has a purpose for us, who actually unites us with others. He even has heaven in mind for us if we just trust him. That's just wonderful, isn't it? But that's a great reason to trust Jesus. But yeah, there's an even bigger reason to trust Jesus. The bigger reason to trust Jesus is actually the ship you're on is not your own. It actually belongs to him. We're actually made for Jesus. We're actually made for God. We're actually, when we try and be the captain of our own lives, what do you call that when someone is the so-called captain of a ship that's not theirs on waters that are not theirs? That's a pirate, isn't it? That's a rebel. And that's the language the Bible uses to talk about us when we try and be the captain of our own lives. So let me encourage you as we finish up. ask yourself that question, who's in control of your life? Who's the captain? Who's the real captain? And let me encourage you to consider Jesus as your new captain. Now, as I said, you might want to really have a strong think about that, because that's a big call. Your whole life in charge, someone in charge of your whole life. And we'd love to help you think about those things and think about Jesus. I think Captain Pickering is going to perhaps talk to us more about it, but Simply Christianity is a course we run here at the Lakes. 5 weeks, we're even going to have dinner together to explore who is Jesus, what has he come to do, why should I trust him? How can I come into relationship with him and be reconnected with God? We'd love you to be part of that. So please let us know on the welcome slips if you'd like to be part of that. I'm going to hand over, back over, to our captain, only of this ship.